Hi everybody, this is Tracy Malone from NarcissistAbuseSupport.com. Today I'm going to talk to you about putting some of the pieces together that are going to explain things that have happened in your life, maybe patterns that you've missed, and I'm going to talk about something that I didn't really understand until I learned about narcissistic abuse. It is all about putting the pieces of the puzzle together. Every family has things that are good and bad. And today I'm going to talk about a narcissistic aunt. I loved my Aunt Pat. She was beautiful and I looked up to her for that beauty. I remember being just like 6 years old and her and my mother both were models. That's what they told us anyway. The reality was they were the perfume sprayers at like Bloomingdale's. And they were at that time being sort of pushed from a modeling agency to Bloomingdale's to go spray people with perfume. But that's basically the idea of what they were. But I still idolized her. To me, she was so smart and caring. It wasn't until later in life, and this is before I knew about narcissists, that I really saw some odd behaviors. Now I can look at them so much more clearly and understand what they meant. So while I idolized her, she also had a husband, my uncle, and my uncle was very successful and they lived a really, really good life, living in places like on the island of Key Biscayne in Florida to Hong Kong and England, and they had a good life. And they brought me along for the ride. When I was younger, I would go to Florida and take care of my baby cousin who was 10 years younger than me. And I got to spend time with my aunt and my uncle, and they always treated me like royalty. I would go and we would have dinners out, and it was so special to me. What I wasn't seeing was the control and the behaviors. So I want to talk about a couple of things that stick out in my mind. One, when I hadn't seen them in many, many years, and they came to New York City, which at the time I was in Connecticut, so it was just a train ride in, but they wanted to meet my five-year-old son. So I came into New York, and this is kind of, like to me, this said they cared. This was the meaning to me that they really cared. They actually found out and made reservations at a hotel, which is long gone now, but it was called Mars 2112. You had to take a elevator that was looked like a spaceship. You went into it and it rocked along and you're going down into the alien dining room. And the alien dining room had people dressed in full on alien hats and I mean whole heads. They weren't just a hat, it was a full on costume serving kids. They went and found the coolest restaurant and the coolest like ambiance for a boy. It was a cool lunch. I don't remember them eating anything. Actually, I think I know that they ordered one appetizers and they both took tiny little bites. They were both so tiny. My aunt was like a zero, if that. And my uncle was whatever man size that was. They just didn't eat a lot. I never actually saw them eat, but they drank like fishes. In the end, my aunt would drink a bottle of wine a day and pour crackers. That's what killed her. But anyway, so this day at the Mars 2112, as we were leaving, of course, just like anywhere in Disney, you were funneled through to the gift shop, and they had little alien toys and alien everything you could possibly imagine. My aunt wanted to buy my son a $3,000 5-foot-tall alien. In addition to how the heck I would get this home on a train, why would anyone spend that kind of money? Well, because you've got it? To me, it was just absurd. You know, put it towards my son's education or do something. Why do we need a giant stuffed animal? It made no sense to me at all. And she insisted and she insisted. I did not allow her to do that. My son went home with the 6-inch alien doll. That was sort of her control. That was how she manipulated people, was to buy them things. Now, if you've been watching my channel a long time, you know that that my life was not one of lack growing up. And I lived a privileged life thanks to my parents. And so this was just part of that journey, right? So I didn't see that as control, but I also didn't see the weird, freaky behaviors I saw later in life. My cousin was having a baby, and my aunt lived on Key Biscayne, one apartment building here, two doors down, my aunt's apartment. So when my cousin was having this baby shower, I showed up, I stayed with my aunt, and I had come down with this amazing gift that someone had given me something like it when I had my son about 2 years beforehand. So I thought this was such a creative idea. I got a laundry basket and a laundry string, you know, laundry, whatever you call it, the cord, right? And I used the clothespins to hang all the baby clothes on. And I bought her things that she would need, like, you know, the practical things that a mother needs, not the beautiful little $100 outfits that people give you when you first have a baby. I wanted her to have, she'll get those, but I was gonna get her all the practical things. So the little onesies and the socks and the things that she's gonna need to have the baby sleep in and all of these tools. They all came off this gigantic thing, and everybody was so impressed with that gift because it was just a cool idea. You know, I saw it at my baby shower. It was fun. I didn't know that it was insulting my aunt, because what she had bought my cousin was a pair of like silver shoes for her child, that was, again, kind of like that alien. Why? You know, is a baby ever going to wear shoes, and why would a baby, not just like these silver fake shoes, I'm talking like something you would actually put on your darn kid's foot. Who would do that? It made no sense at all. But she spent a bazillion dollars on it, so she seemed to think that that was a good baby present. My offer of little onesies and t-shirts sort of outshined her and her, you know, extravagant gift, and she got pissed off. We went back to my aunt's condo, and I was playing with her cat. That day, during the day when we were out shopping for things we needed for the baby shower, I picked up a cat toy. And it was one of those ones on a string, and you sort of dangle the mouse and the cat jumps around and has a really good time. I wanted to entertain the cat, and we had fun. We played all night long. The cat had never like throw the mouse toy, and the cat, and my aunt was like, oh, my cat doesn't play like that. Oh, my cat doesn't do that. And I'm like, this seems to be having a pretty good time. So I go to sleep that night, and I am waking up at like 3 a.m. My aunt is over my bed. If she had, like, psychopath, she could have had a knife. That's how crazy she was, psychotic at this moment, yelling and screaming at me that because I played with that cat toy with her cat, that the cat had peed and pooped on her $10,000 curtains. She wanted me out of the apartment right then, in the middle of the night, in the middle of sleeping. She's like, you did this? And, like, my head was spinning. I called my cousin two doors away, and her husband came and picked me up, and regardless of them under construction, I slept on the couch for the rest of my vacation. I think that was probably the last time I saw my aunt. That erratic, crazy behavior, I didn't understand it then, but I understand it now. Later, when my cousin had her child, and a few years later, she had stage 4 breast cancer. And two doors down, mom lives. Key Biscayne's right off Miami. 4 or 5 miles down, just right off the island and into Miami to get her chemo. She asked mom, will you take me for a chemo? And my aunt said, what time is it? Oh, 9 o'clock? I don't wake up that early. I'll get you a car, but I don't go there. Those should have been signs right there to me, but of course I didn't understand it. Pieces of the puzzle didn't come in until I learned about narcissistic abuse. My cousin also didn't recognize those as self-centered and no empathy, no respect, and no care for her. During the cancer, when my cousin lost all of her hair and went from a size 12 to a size 0, she was struggling and not able to work. stage 4 cancer is pretty darn serious, and now having 2 little boys, it was a very difficult journey for her. My aunt hated her with a bald head. Personally, I thought she was more beautiful than she'd ever been. And down there, we shopped for clothes for her little size 0 body and got her just feeling a lot better about herself. And she looked beautiful. My aunt was embarrassed by her. And so she said she needed to go to this wig place, this woman that makes custom-made wigs. My cousin said, "Mom, I can't afford that." Now, here's the part I didn't say, but my aunt and uncle were very, very wealthy. She drives a Ferrari. She drove a Ferrari. Plenty of money. So when your mother says, "We need to get you a wig," and she's made the appointment and you're going and you told her you couldn't afford it, but she brought you there anyway, you kind of got the impression that she was going to be paying for said wig. But as it turned out, a wig was picked out that my aunt approved of, and it was somewhere a couple hundred, $400, and my cousin said, "Mom, I can't afford this." And my aunt said, "Well, I'm not going to pay for it. I'll take you home to your house so you can go get a check." Now, my sweet little cousin, bald-headed, codependent person, went back, wrote the check, and had to deal with the wrath of not being able to pay her bills that month. That self-centered embarrassment for her daughter being bald, that wasn't good enough. She had to fix it. But yet, she wasn't willing to put her money where her mouth was. Me and my cousin talked about that and tried to understand it. These things are things I want you to start to review. Little episodes like this. I can look back, I can give you a whole big list of everything that was weird about my relationship with my aunt later in life. When I was younger, I was her babysitter. I came there and took care of my cousin, and we had a good time, and they didn't have to worry about my cousin. So they probably just paid me to fly there to really take care of the cousin. But being the cool aunt and uncle, I remember going there when I was 18, and I brought 4 friends. We were after high school. We were taking that trip. Back in those days, 18 was legal to drink. My uncle worked for a liquor company. So we were partying up with my cousin, with my friends and my aunt and uncle. They offered my friends alcohol, which was fine and legal, but they offered us marijuana and cocaine. And, you know, in those days, wow, how cool was that to have an aunt that offers you cocaine? I'm not saying we took it. I'm just saying it separated her from the stuffy mommy daddy I lived with to something else. Ultimately, my aunt drank herself to death. And when she collapsed on the floor and was in hand reach of a phone, she lay there because she was embarrassed. She didn't want anyone to see that she had peed on herself. She had broken some bones and basically her organs were shutting down. She died 3 days later, but she refused to call the ambulance because she didn't want anyone to know that she peed on herself. That's that pride. Pride enough that she might have been able to be saved if she had gone to the doctor or a hospital a few days earlier. She laid there for almost 2 days before my cousin found her and got the ambulance in there. She probably would have died, knowing now that her organs were failing. In her death, she made no preparations. She didn't have a will. She didn't have the paperwork to what she wanted in death. She didn't have do not resuscitate. She didn't have any orders, which meant, once again, she was giving all the responsibility to my cousin. It's a shame, and I miss my aunt. But I kind of miss the illusion of the aunt that I knew when I was younger. Because now that I see the red flags, the control, the no empathy, the bizarre cat episode, and getting mad at me because I outshined her by buying baby undershirts. It's just creativity and fun. I see that she was a narcissist. I see that her behaviors did to me and did to her and her daughter, their relationship, very similar to what my mom and our relationship was. So the point of this video was not to bitch about my aunt who's been gone a couple years now, but to open up your eyes to look at other people's behaviors that you might have missed. I didn't understand any of this until I learned about narcissistic abuse. So think about this. Look at other people in your life. You may be working with them. They may be your siblings. There's going to be some things you have to clear out here. You're going to have to, identify them. Because if you keep toxic people in your life, you are going to be unhappy. You can get rid of them. You can clear them out. You can work on the relationship and understanding what they're capable of. That's an important part of recovery. You have to stop wanting to change them, that they should be this way. If they're my aunt, they should treat me this way. What are they capable of? Learn that. And then either accept what they're capable of or make a decision that you have to protect you right now. Okay, this is Jason Malone. Thank you so much for listening. And I hope it didn't sound too much like a pity party. I literally wrote all these notes down about the behaviors that I saw over the years and how I figured out what they all meant. So hope I didn't bore you too much. But this is Tracy. Please follow me if you haven't subscribed yet. And visit my website, narcissistabusesupport.com, where you will find everything from support groups to courses. And I have free ebooks that you can download off of my website. For who is your narcissist? If you're divorcing a narcissist, co-parenting with a narcissist, in a relationship with a narcissist, if your child's a narcissist, if you have one at work, if your siblings, if your parents, and how to help a friend. 10 pages that are 5,000 words each. You can download the free ebook by going to my website. Thank you so much, and have a great day.